Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Styrenix Performance Materials Limited conference call. From the management team, we have with us Mr. Rahul Agrawal, Managing Director, Mr. Bhupesh P. Porwal, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Chintan Doshi, Manager, Legal and Company Secretary. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Further, on behalf of the management of the company, we would also like to remind the participants that this call has been conducted subject to and in line with the disclaimer mentioned in the investor's presentation, as is available on the stock exchanges. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Bhupesh P. Porwal. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, namaste and good afternoon, everyone. I am pleased to welcome you to our Quarter One Financial Year 2025 conference call. As we reflect on our performance in fiscal year 2024, I am delighted to announce that we have witnessed a robust demand for our products, marking a significant growth trend. We are on schedule of our debottlenecking and expansion projects announced in previous year. Coming to the financial performance, the highlights are as under. Sales volume has increased by 8.6% compared to quarter 4 of FY24 and by 21% compared to Q1 FY24. Revenue increased by 16.7% compared to Q4 FY24 and 28.5% compared to Q1 FY24. PBDIT stood at 13.1%, which is better by 0.7% compared to Q4 FY24 and 3.7% better compared to Q1 FY23. Profit after tax stood at 8.7%, which is better by 0.5% compared to Q4 FY24 and better by 2.8% compared to Q1 FY24. These are all about the highlights of this quarter, and now we may proceed to answer the questions you may have. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking your question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Nirav Jamuria from Anvil Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir, and congratulations for a great set. So I have two, three questions to ask. So the first is on our ABS. So if you can just help us understand, how were the imports of ABS in India in first quarter of FY25 vis-a-vis last year and 4Q of FY24? If you can just share the trend.
Okay, hi Nirav. So, you know, in terms of imports for this quarter, we don't have that complete data yet because, as you know, specifically for the month of June, the import data would be really available to us only by early August. However, as far as imports are concerned, year on year, there doesn't seem to be any major shift or any major, change over there. We have got some share of that import, obviously, as our volumes have increased, but overall, the imports are more or less stable, if I must say.
Correct. So the reason for asking the question was because there were a lot of challenges in terms of container shortages globally, and even freight cost was elevated. So I was trying to understand that whether this has helped us to put some additional volumes and gain those volume share in the domestic market, and whether if you can also explain that whether these gross margins which we have reported this quarter include some element of those higher freight costs which would have elevated the domestic prices of ABS.
We have seen the impact of ocean freight. So, ocean freight impacts us in two ways. There is bulk ocean freight, which is impacted on our raw materials, which comes in by way of styrene and acrylonitrile. And there's, of course, ocean freight involving, you know, containerized movement of finished goods, which comes into the country. If we look at, you know, bulk freight, actually there was a mismatch towards the end of the last quarter and early part of this quarter where a lot of our material, in fact, got delayed. And due to that, you know, we, in fact, had to even buy some material in the spot market because we didn't have the availability of raw material coming in at that time. So, in fact, that was a bit of a negative, if you will, because we had to buy some material when that material did not come in on time. Overall, not a major impact, but some impact was there. In terms of finished goods coming in terms of the shortages of freight vessels, that is happening more so in this quarter as opposed to the last quarter. So, there is not a major gap there. I mean, if you look at, you know, our overall EBITDA margin, that hasn't changed much, right? Kind of quarter on quarter. So that's very similar. It's just that our volumes have increased and that is purely a function of us being able to produce more and sell more.
Correct. So second question is in terms of our sales volume for ABS. So I just wanted to understand from you, like, do we sell more of those colored ABS and the compounds of ABS as against those white or the black master batches which are coming to India? And when we generally say that 65% of our sales volume for the ABS are of specialty grade, does this include those colored ABS and the compounds which we sell to the customers here?
So when we talk about specialty ABS, it does include some of the colored grades, but not all colored grades. There are some colored grades which would be more along the lines of the, you know, standard grades of products that we supply in the market. So it's difficult to give that exact breakup over here during this call, but there would be, like I said, some component of the natural grades of products or the base grades, which would be in, you know, the 35%, or actually that number is even lower. And that would also consist of some colored products, but not all colored products. We determine the specialty of the product based on the complexity in manufacturing it, as well as the value addition while selling the product.
Correct. And the imports which are coming to India is predominantly those white or the black master black ABS and not the colored ones which we generally sell, right?
Not really. So the product that comes into the country is a full spectrum. So there are products which come in on the natural side as well as on the specialty side. So the percentage of natural ABS might be a little bit higher coming in from, you know, outside the country, but there is also a significant percentage of specialty ABS or colored ABS, if you will, which is sold in the country from outside.
Got it, sir. The last from my side is, if you can just help us out in terms of both for ABS as well as PS, the split of volumes between, let's say, for ABS, predominantly auto and consumer durables, and for PS, let's say, for auto, consumer durables, as well as the stationary products.
In PS, there is no sale to automotive.
Yeah. Okay, so it's more of consumer durables and the stationary ones.
And packaging. So, I mentioned in my previous calls, in ABS, you know, the automotive and household appliances are the larger markets that we cater to, followed by electronics, then kind of medical devices and toys, stationery, things like that. And in case of polystyrene, it is household appliances again, which is an overlap with our ABS business. And there is some packaging, which is also a significant business. And then followed by the other segments that we cater to.
Got it. Just to reconfirm, sir, the timeline for the commissioning of our debottlenecking, like last time you mentioned, it could be coming in H2 of FY25. So just to reconfirm that and the volume guidance, what you said earlier, just to reconfirm, if you can just share both of them. Thank you.
So, you know, if you look at our overall volumes that we have done in the first quarter, it's close to 48,000 tons.
Yeah.
As opposed to last year, we did about 39 or 40,000 tons in the first quarter of the year last year. So that's about a 20% increase. This incorporates obviously the debottlenecking which has happened over the course of last year as well as beginning of this year, this financial year. As we go along, you know, that is on track and we will have additional volumes coming in the second and the third quarters as well. overall, I think our volume guidance that we had given in the earlier presentation of, you know, about a 15%-20% growth over the previous year, that continues to be the case.
Thank you so much, sir, and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Rahul Agarwal from IKI GAI Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon, sir. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations for the grant. So firstly, you know, as you alluded to the sales volume outlook, just wanted to add a bit here. So obviously, it implies that there is some bit of debottlenecking which would also happen going into second and third quarter. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. So broadly, 15-20% is a consolidated guidance which includes ABS and PS both, right?
That is correct.
Okay, perfect. Any thoughts or any comment would like to share on the EBITDA spreads we are making on both businesses for fiscal 2025 and 2026?
No, we are not given any guidance as such. We have iterated in the past as well that the company has undertaken projects to increase capacities both by way of debottlenecking and brownfield expansion. Also, there is cost rationalization measures that the company is undertaking in terms of improving efficiencies, and last but not least, you know, trying to increase the share of value-added products, be it by way of the existing product line or the new products that we have launched in the brand of Steriloy and Acelac. So combination of all these three would help us, you know, in achieving better numbers going forward, but we have as such no guidance towards that.
Got it. And could you specify a bit more on what kind of new products have been launched at least this year? Like whatever you've sold in 1Q, could you highlight a bit more on that, please?
So the volumes currently sold are not very significant. You know, they are still kind of small in relative terms compared to the rest of the business that we are in. The products that we have launched right now, we have launched Steriloy, like I mentioned, and Acelac, which are the two brand names. Under Steriloy, we have done, we are doing blends like polycarbonate ABS, nylon ABS, ABS PMMA, HIPS PPO, other products. In case of Acelac, it's ASA, which is a kind of weatherable product which works, you know, in applications where high weather resistance is required or weatherability is required or high UV resistance is required. So we have done that as well as blends of ASA, which would be again, ASA, PMMA, and so on and so forth.
Got it. Perfect. One question was on the working capital this quarter. Like, how did June end? Is broadly similar to what March was, 50-55 days. Could you highlight what was the operating cash flow for the quarter?
This is not some information that we generally publish, but yeah, so...
Okay, no problem. And lastly, just on the CapEx, could you guide us for the amount of CapEx to be done for fiscal 25 and 26, please?
So currently, the overall CapEx for the whole year that we estimated would be, you know, the tune of 60 to 70 crores. That number will be fine-tuned, actually, in the successive next few months, because we will have complete clarity once our engineering studies are completed and to what extent we can accelerate, you know, that the expansion projects, and perhaps would also reflect on the CapEx accordingly. So I think by the next investor call, we'll have more information to share.
Okay. Thank you so much for answering my questions. I'll get back in with you.
Sure.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Priyank Sheda from Valent Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations for a great set of numbers. So my question is on, could you elaborate what would be the contribution of SAN in this total 48,000 tons volume for this quarter? I believe it's also part of when you disclose 48,000 tons, it includes SAN plus PS plus ABS, correct?
That is correct.
Would you be able to, this, how much of the SAN would be sold in this contribution in this total volumes?
Again, we don't share individual numbers or breakup. You know, we stop disclosing those exact details, you know, in competitive interest. But it is more or less in line with the numbers that we have been doing over the years. and there is not any significant change in that.
Oh, okay, perfect. All right. So the incremental volumes have come from the debottlenecking of ABS and PS put together in that ratio, right?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, the product mix has not changed drastically across the board, and debottlenecking would have benefited all products.
Okay, perfect. Coming to just a delta spread, sir. So we have seen slight improvement in ABS prices, maybe because of the ocean freight of the finished goods that you alluded to. While, you know, the styrene monomer raw material has also moved in tandem. So do you see some global dislodgement in the delta spreads ahead? Any global development which you would like to highlight, maybe which we should think of in case which can impact the spreads ahead?
So the global spreads have not changed much in the last, kind of 1.5 years since we have taken over management control. I think barring the first quarter of, 2022-23, when the spreads were a little bit higher, they kind of normalized post that. And they have stayed at a normalized level. Now this is, I'm talking from a global perspective, and that continues to be the case today. So there is no major change from that. I think in terms of our own performance, of course, we are benefiting, you know, slightly from some operating leverage as our volumes are going up, and with the total sales that we have been able to achieve of different categories of products.
Oh, great! Just last question on the power and fuel cost savings which you had alluded last quarter, plus some reduction in the steam cost. In Q1, at least we could see that there is a rupee improvement in on a per kilo basis. Of course, it has to do with the operating leverage too. Can you elaborate for us what should be the total cost savings that we should think of when it comes to FY25 in terms of power and fuel, and what can be the logistics cost saving that we should see in the forthcoming year?
So in terms of power and fuel, when we discuss about fuel, there are some projects that are ongoing where we are looking at more cost effective and economic sources of generating steam across all our plants. In one of the plants that has already been commissioned, and in the second plant also it's near commissioning stage. The third plant also, we would have that commissioned probably in the next quarter or so. So I think over the course of this year, there will be some savings in fuel. Of the total savings that we are anticipating, at least 30-40% of the total savings will come this year, and the entire savings will be visible next year. As far as power cost is concerned, we are evaluating, different options for which, again, we haven't yet come out with a declaration to the public market, which we will give very soon once we have that information on what we intend to do. That power saving will also come in full force next year, and for this year, I think probably towards the end of the year.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Akshada Dave from Vivog Commercial. Please go ahead.
Hello. I have two questions for the management. Could you release the previous four-year volume data from FY19 to 22? I understand you were not the management at the time, but do you still have that data?
So earlier we have been not publishing those data in last few years. So, and previous years we have published the production volume data. So what exactly you want, if you can write to sexshare@styrenix.com, we'll revert back to you on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. My next question was, you have released, the promoters have recently released almost 20% pledge on their holding. Are there any more plans for rest of the pledge to be released as well?
Well, if you check the updates on the stock exchange, we have already informed that the entire pledge has been released. So there is no more pledge existing on any of the promoter shareholding.
Okay, that's great clarification. And I just wanted to confirm, the debottlenecking project was the same project that you've given to Mott MacDonald. Is that right?
No, that is a brownfield expansion project.
So has that started? Because this this was given in February with a 6 month to start renewal, right?
So the typically what happens, ma'am, when we do a any project, we have to do a basic and detailed engineering study. Mott MacDonald has been afforded awarded the basic engineering work, which is due to get completed very soon. And that's when I said we will have a better idea of exactly what the capex will be for that project. So that work is still ongoing and due to get completed very, very soon.
Okay. Okay. Thank you so much. I'll get back in the queue.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Ranbir Singh from Yashvi Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Rahulji. Congratulations on a great set of numbers. While I was trying to calculate realization, so basically for the last quarter's volume, this quarter you reported that you did 44,094 metric tons last quarter, but in the last quarter's investor presentation, it was 44,538. So which would be the right number to take to calculate the realization?
So I think up till last quarter we have been publishing production numbers. So that is the production number, and this time we have published the sales number. I think last quarter also was the sales number. Up till December we were publishing the production number.
Yeah.
So that's the reason
Okay. So I had a question. So we observed, so Rahulji, what I observed that realizations have increased 7% quarter on quarter. So is this due to the base commodity price increase which happened in March 24, which led to better realization of existing inventory, or was it due to a better product mix?
Realizations have increased 7%.
So realizations.
Yeah, so it would largely be a function of product mix. As you know, the product mix changes quarter on quarter, all right? That's why I've always guided that one should look at annual kind of data to get a blended idea of what those realizations would be, because it's possible that certain grades of products sell in higher volumes in certain quarters vis-a-vis in other quarters. So this is more or less in line with what we would have expected for the kind of products to be sold in this quarter.
Okay. Okay. I have another question. Like, we have a listed competitor who's producing ABS. Their realization were a little higher than ours. So ours is lesser mainly because of the product mix, because we also produce polystyrene and that is sold at a lower cost. Is my understanding correct?
Yeah, broadly you are correct. So we also sell more SAN and we also sell more polystyrene. And the spreads between ABS, SAN and polystyrene all are different in the industry. And, what we normally publish is a blended or a overall result, which is different from what the competitors would be publishing.
Okay, Ali. Thank you so much. Great going. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next question is from the line of Tej from Nivesh Investment Advisory. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity, sir. I have a couple of questions. So taking it from the previous participant, sir, you said our realization has increased because of the change in the product mix. But is there a factor of, freight cost leading to this increase in realizations? I mean, there would be,
So this question has been asked earlier. So I think in the last quarter, there is no real impact of the freight costs. So ultimately, that impact may come, but as of now, we don't see it in the last.
Okay, got it. And sir, again, sir, just a confirmation on a previous participant question. So you said that the global spreads, and the spreads for you two haven't changed, upwards, let's say on an upward trajectory, it's at normal level only, right? And you expect it to remain same going further, if I'm not wrong.
So this is the current understanding we have. Of course, it can change from time to time. But as of what we as a management believe to be the case today and in the near-term future, that indeed seems to be the case.
Got it, got it. Okay, got it, sir. No problem. Thank you. That's all from my side.
Sure.
Thank you. Next question is from line of Dattatreya Chitnis, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon, sir.
Yes, sir.
I am audible, sir.
Yes, sir, you are.
Good afternoon to you and all the participants.
Good afternoon, sir.
But just compliments and compliments, sir. My immense gratitude to you and the board for the bountiful dividend. The performance of the company is highly commendable. The management of the company is immensely reliable. And the dividend policy is just incredible. The board deserves kudos and admiration for adopting the most equitable and fair business practice towards all stakeholders, which is very rare in the domain of listed Indian corporates. You can, I am sure that you can see only such approach towards stakeholders among only multinational companies like Nestle, Colgate, Procter Gamble, to name few. Thank you, sir, again, once again, and thank you to convey my thanks to the board, please.
Will do, sir. Thank you for your appreciation, sir. Appreciate your kind words.
You're welcome, sir.
Thank you very much. Next question is from the line of Ashish from InvestQ Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah. If I recollect the last call, you guided that the EBITDA margin of around 12% was a base and you will build up from there probably. So that's what we could understand. But historically, we've seen that given the nature of your business, the margins have both on gross and EBITDA, they've been pretty volatile over years. So what changes for the company now that those bad days won't come back, as in those 12% margins would be the base for the company? I just wanted to understand that. Is there anything changes between you and your customers in terms of contractual arrangements or some inventory policy? Just your clarifications would help.
So generally, we don't give guidance on EBITDA percentage margins. What we have stated in the past is that post the 2 years of exceptional results during global supply chain disruptions, after that things have normalized, and in a normalized scenario, what we are seeing in the industry today with all factors in play is something that is sustainable, is what we have stated in the past, and we continue to state the same. In terms of margins, generally the businesses work in terms of spreads, whether it is ABS, polystyrene or SUN. Those spreads have remained sort of consistent. Some improvements we have seen, marginal improvements, as we, like I said, augment our capacities, get some operating leverage. We reduce our costs in some areas that we have already mentioned, and we improve our product mix. So with these three factors and three levers that we have, we try to do whatever best we can in terms of the margin profile. In terms of EBITDA percentages, it can change, because if your raw material prices go up, typically our finished product prices go up, and there the EBITDA margins might look a little bit lower. And conversely, if your finished raw material prices come down, your finished product prices also come down, where your EBITDA margins look higher. So I think in terms of absolute profitability, based on the sales volumes that we do, would be a good metric for you to understand how the business works. And we believe it's sustainable at where we are at, with a continued effort to improve it going forward.
So maybe per kg or per ton metric, is that not going to be as volatile on those matrices versus a percentage
Correct.
Margin? That's what you're
suggesting. Correct.
But sir, there have been years when I can see history where the absolute profitability of the business has gone down substantially. So I don't have the numbers to go on the per ton basis how the profitability went. But you may not be the management at that time, but maybe I think 10-15 crores was the EBITDA in one of the years. so that which was pretty deep in terms of negatives. So you don't see such scenarios happening in this business now. So that's what I wanted to understand.
I think you can answer your own question by looking at the overall industry, what has happened. So if you look at specifically Styrenix or whatever name it was in its earlier avatar, you can understand how they were performing vis-a-vis competition. While overall competition seems to have performed better, this company in its earlier avatar has performed a little bit poorer, specifically for the years that you have mentioned. Now, overall, of course, as the volumes have gone up, all the players in the industry have got some benefit on operating leverage, and overall the spreads have improved somewhat. But this is still a very normalized scenario today that we are at. So we don't anticipate any such dips currently, because we have all factors such as competitive pressures in terms of global demand supply scenarios. All of these are sort of normalized and have been for the last several quarters, and we don't anticipate that to change.
Yeah, so the point to take is some bit of management issues were also responsible for those years where the profitability was low.
I won't comment directly on that. I hope you can appreciate it.
Got it. So, sir, one more clarification I wanted to understand, because you said in the opening questions that the global spreads have remained more or less there. But is there any change on the India side of it? If the domestic business sees a better scenario for spread somewhere because of the freight issues that are there?
Could be, but again, my comment will be speculative in nature, which I shall refrain from making at this stage.
Okay, got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Akash Khaitan from Credit Infoedge. Please go ahead.
Yeah, my question is on the realizations. So I wanted to understand basically realizations per kg has jumped from around 126 rupees to 145. So what triggered this? And are these the kind of realizations we can expect going forward?
I mean, raw material prices have gone up, and so have the finished product prices. So overall, prices have moved in tandem with raw material prices. If you look at, again, the overall profitability per ton, whatever, there are some slight improvements over there. And that is, like I said, on account of operating leverage and some cost savings that we have achieved. But of course, they are not of the same order of magnitude that you have mentioned, because just looking at a price is not going to be able to tell you the whole story.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Nilesh Saha from Julius Baer. Please go ahead.
I don't know how to take out of the system. I have given a few.
Hi, are you able to hear me?
Yes, please go ahead.
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah. Hi, are you able to hear me?
Yeah, we are able to hear you, sir. Please
okay. Great. Just one question from my end. Right. So, in your earlier calls, you have made a comment that something like 65% to 70% of the ABS that is sold is sort of specialty grade, which we understand is a customized grade that you are supplying to, a particular OEM, could be an auto or a appliances OEM, to meet certain, certain features on strength, durability, right? Could you comment on, on the nature of those contracts, right? From a realization and pricing point of view, right? The reason I'm asking this is because I'm trying to better appreciate, why the spreads are a bit volatile. Because, I'm sort of struggling to understand that at least for this piece, your realize, what would be the dependence of your realizations for this piece on, you know, global ABS prices? That's my question. Thank you.
Okay. Since we have taken over management control in November 22, having more control over the business, say in the quarter, post that, in terms of spreads that you see, there is a incremental improvement on an annualized basis. But the volatility that you're alluding to is probably more to do with pricing rather than with spreads. There has not been a lot of volatility since situation has normalized as far as the global markets are concerned. So we don't see a lot of volatility here. When we talk about specialized ABS or specialized or customized products that we give to customers, it's very difficult for me here to tell you how those spreads work. There are thousands, if not more SKUs which are made as per the need of that customer, depending on the complexity of the product grade that needs to be made, the spreads can vary quite significantly. In terms of ABS, we sell ABS based on obviously its base properties, which is impact strength, chemical resistance. It is tensile, ductility, processability. But then, of course, we can make high heat ABS, we can make electroplating ABS, paintable ABS, super high impact ABS, high gloss ABS, and anti-static ABS, UV resistant ABS, and many such properties can be imparted to the product based on how you customize it, how you produce it. And even within that, there are hundreds of colors which can be produced and hundreds of additional properties which can be imparted to the ABS. So to go into detail and explain to you how each of these grades, how the realization is virtually impossible.
Just generally asking, the nature of the contract. So, is it based on, the sort of pricing of ABS plus a markup? Or is there a linkage of the, of the global ABS spread or ABS price that has observed? I was more sort of, I wanted a qualitative color on the nature of the contracts, not anything specific to do with the various products you must be selling.
Yeah, so it would be in line with a kind of a cost plus basis, right? So depending on what my input costs are on raw materials, and those raw materials would be determined by publication pricing, which is ABS, as you correctly pointed out. Beyond that, whatever the difficulty or complexity is would be added on in terms of margin.
Right, right. And then these have some sort of a reset frequency, right?
So these are decided on a monthly basis because the pricing on raw materials changes on a monthly basis, and so would our contracts reflect that.
Okay, awesome. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Aditya Khaitan from SMFS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, sir, for the opportunity. So my first question is on to the ABS part. Sir, is it possible to quantify? So, what would be the utilization level of ABS we have operated in this quarter and in FY24, and similarly in polystyrene?
So,
sir, sorry to interrupt you. We have lost your audio. Can you hear us,
Mr. Khaitan?
Sir, sorry to interrupt you. We lost your audio. Can you repeat with the answer?
Yeah, I'm asking, is Mr. Khaitan referring to capacity utilization when he talks about utilization?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, capacity utilization.
So, capacity utilization is, near full utilization every single quarter. Like I mentioned, when we do debottlenecking, we realize, there is a scope for additional volumes which can be produced. Now, debottlenecking is a very broad catch-all term that we are using. We also do process improvements. We also do technology improvements along with that. And that helps us realize higher volumes. And that's a continuous exercise. But we are at any point of time operating on full capacity at that particular point in time.
Got it.
Or have been for the last 5 quarters.
Got it. Sir, onto the ABS, sir, when we look at the data for the past 2 years and today, we have witnessed that the ABS spreads have gone up by almost 30 to 40%. So now you are saying that the global spreads are almost in line as compared to last year. But the data suggests that so currently we are trading at around so 30 to 40% premium in terms of spreads, and that is also reflected in your numbers. So just wanted to know this improvement in spread is only because of the shipping cost or the ocean freight, or there are some structural changes like which is happening, either it could be because of lower imports from Korea or any other factor like which you can allude to.
We can take this question offline, because I think your data and our data is a little bit different. If you see, basically when you compare spreads, the only data which is normally available at a global level is your general injection molding ABS grade. If I track the spreads on general injection molding ABS grade, and I have that entire data for the last 2 years, there is absolutely no change. So when you say it's increased by 30 to 40%, we can take this question offline and we'll be very happy to answer it for you.
Got it, sir. Sir, on to the ABS, sir, you had mentioned, so we are also expanding the capacity. Any sort of a big figure we have outlined, so from 85,000 tons taking this capacity to around 2 lakh tons, what would be the capex figure?
So like I mentioned, in this year, we are targeting about 105,000 tons or 100 to 105,000 tons of ABS. We are in line to do that. To go from 105 to 210,000, and of course, polystyrene also to go from 100 to 150,000 tons. We have outlined an overall capex guidance of about 650 crores. We'll have detail on that very shortly. So hopefully, you know, in the next few months, where we will know exactly what will be the cost and how much, you know, would be the spent over the next few years and in which quarters. So that detailing has yet to be done. But that was broadly the number which we had given earlier, and that remains to be the case until we get more detail from our engineering studies.
Got it. And sir, just one last question. Sir, on to the other expenses, the benefit which we have got in this quarter, so this we can assume it for the full fiscal FY25?
Again, there will be a function of product mix. There will also be a function of specific seasonality in certain quarters. There could be factors which can help us. But you see, there is an overall base spread which doesn't change too much or is not very volatile. There could be certain, temporary or momentary changes which may happen. Like I said, we have not given any guidance, but you can consider whatever is happening currently as the normalized, sustainable scenario.
Got it. Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Next question is from Lan of Dhara from Value Plus Investment. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. So my first question is on getting more clarity on the debottlenecking exercise that we're doing. So I just want to understand, this will open up how much capacity for us? Is it like 60,000 tons? The reason why I'm asking this question is because will we face capacity constraints before our doubling of capacity comes in FY28? If you can help me clarify this.
So prior to, us taking over management, the capacity of ABS or the maximum production or sales of ABS based on own produced products was close to around 65,000 tons, which last year, we did about 90,000 tons of ABS. This year, we are targeting between 100 to 105,000 tons of ABS. This is all by virtue of debottlenecking. So going from 105 to 210 is the larger kind of brownfield expansion which will help us double the capacity. How fast it can happen, whether it can happen in a modular fashion, and what will be the exact dates of commissioning, we'll give more information on that. But initially we had given a broad guidance of 28, but we believe that it can be done sooner, and we'll have exact information in the next few months on that.
So, sir, when you mention sooner, does it mean that you can do it in a phased fashion, or the entire capacity needs to come online at one time? Can it be
I think we'll have to wait for a month or two for to share that information. Once we have it, we'll share that with you.
Okay. And what would be the total capacity, ABS, SAN, polystyrene and blends, all the capacity put together, what is the total capacity that we have today?
So right now it's about going to be about 200,000 tons on a, you know, for the full year. And for, I think we have given that guidance as well, where we have mentioned 200,000 tons for this year. And, you know, the increases also we have demonstrated or kind of indicated in the last few investor presentations ago. So you can refer to that, and that number would still remain valid as far as our current planning is concerned.
Okay, sure. Thank you. That answers all my questions.
Yeah, most welcome.
Thank you. Next question is from Lan of Pratik Singhania from Sage One Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Sir, with respect to adding to Dhara's question, with respect to the existing capacity in last quarter's presentation, for ABS, it was mentioned that the existing capacity is 85,000 tons and for PS it is 66,000 tons. But because of your internal efficiency and like process measures, you said in FY24 you did a total production of 90,000 tons, right? So, sir, similarly, for end of Q1 FY25, because of your own process improvement, what is the monthly or quarterly production capacity? It, not the stated one, but the capability of the company to manufacture like tonnage of ABS and polystyrene per quarter, how it would be?
So whatever we have produced in this quarter is the maximum that we can produce, okay? In next few quarters, there is debottlenecking which is happening on ABS, which will help us produce more. I think on the overall annualized basis, we are still on track to the reach the number that we have mentioned, which is about 100 to 105,000 tons.
Right. So basically, in terms of number, if I can assign a number, because I'm asking the historical number. So at the end of this Q1 FY25, what would be the capability in terms of, it would be similar 22,500 tons per month per quarter for ABS?
Well, if we are talking about producing 105,000 tons, that number would be, you know, a little bit higher, right? It would be closer to 25,000 tons or 26,000 tons. And that is what, in fact, is the current capacity.
Okay, so we have already debottlenecked the ABS capacity to 105.
No, we have not. We have done it, but we are very close to it. Balance part of it will be done in the next quarter, and then we'll reach that exact number.
Okay, and sir, currently what is our HRG capacity? How much we can produce per month?
So HRG capacity is 24,000 tons, and that is currently the case. Again, there will be some debottlenecking over there in the next quarter, which will help us produce more HRG.
10-15% debottlenecking can be achieved over here?
Yeah.
Okay. And sir, when you'll be saying that you'll be adding the capacity for ABS by debottlenecking, so we will not be sacrificing on our SAN tonnage, right? It will be incremental volume that will be added, or we have to...
No, that is correct. SAN, we have in fact additional capacity already in place, so we will not have to sacrifice any SAN tonnage.
Okay. And so similarly, if you can tell me about polystyrene, like 66,000 tons, is it still at 66,000 tons per annum, or you have done some kind of a debottlenecking for it to have some midpoint of say 80-85,000 as of now?
So SAN is currently at that capacity, what you have mentioned. In the next quarter, that debottlenecking exercise should be completed, and on an annualized basis, of course, it would be 100,000 tons. But for this year, you know, because of some time lost during the debottlenecking exercise itself, the overall capacity of the H, like you mentioned, would be, or polystyrene would be around 75,000 to 80,000 tons.
Okay, okay, great. And sir, best wishes, because like increasing 8,000 tons incrementally YOY at an incremental fixed cost of just 5 crores net is commendable. All the best, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Kunal Shah from NIM Investments. Please go ahead.
Hey, hi, Rahulji. Congratulations on the good set of numbers.
Thanks, Kunal.
Yeah, I have one question on SLAC. Can you just help me understand the raw material mix that SLAC is required to make SLAC? And also on SLAC, have we already started selling it in the market, or are we still in the customer approval phase?
So, Kunal, SLAC is composed of a different kind of a rubber, which is used, which will basically, like you have ABS composed of HRG and SAN for that matter. Similarly, for SLAC also, you would have ASA rubber, which would be its own kind of rubber, specialized rubber, along with SAN and SAN. So, it would be similar in terms of percentages that would be used. The rubber part, again, is something which we have developed, and we would be partly using our own, partly buying from outside as well. The SAN and MSAN pieces, of course, are pieces that we already have in-house available to use. So, that's ongoing. In terms of customer qualifications and validations, we have received some validations and some commercial orders have started. But these are still quite small, and we believe that the real benefit potentially will come towards the last quarter of this year.
Got it. Great. Thank you so much, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Hemant, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes.
So thank you for providing me the opportunity, and congratulations on a very good set of numbers. So my question is pertaining to the stake sale by the promoter.
Yes.
So if the prospects of the company are good and the future is very, very bright and promising, then why is there a stake sale by the promoter?
So a few things, Hemant.
Sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah.
Hemant, can you mute your line from your side, please?
Sir, your voice is cracking.
Yeah, Hemant, can you mute your line from your side, please? Thank you. Sir, continue.
Yeah, Hemant, in terms of, the functioning of the company or prospects of the company, they remain very much in line with whatever, we have been speaking about and what we believe. So that does not change. The stake sale is frankly a decision taken at the promoter level, which is, considering the promoter's own options to retire certain debt which was taken for the acquisition of the shares itself. And there was, of course, a pledge also created as a result of that debt. We believe that, in the interest of the company, in the interest of the shareholders, as well as the interest of the promoters, it made sense to dilute some equity so as to, alleviate that part. And that is a decision that the promoter group has taken. Of course, it does not really have any bearing per se on the operations of Styrenix for which we are talking about here. But to answer your question, I hope that addresses your concerns.
So, sir, you mean to say that some data was taken and by the promoter in acquiring the company, and the stake sale was basically done to retire dead debt?
That is correct.
Okay, fine, sir. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Tushar Vasuja from Yogya Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, Tushar.
Yes, I have a few questions and I'm a bit new to your company, so I'm sorry if they're a bit rudimentary in nature. But my first question is, can you give a revenue distribution based on the end industry that you serve?
So, Tushar, we produce two lines of products broadly, ABS and polystyrene. In ABS, we cater to the automotive industry. We cater to household appliances or large appliances, electronics, medical devices, small appliances, stationary toys. Generally, the revenue mix is about 40% in automotive, similar percentages in household appliances. And then the other industries are, of course, smaller in nature. Polystyrene, on the other hand, again, is about 40-odd% in household appliances, similar percentage in packaging. And then the other industries, is where we have the rest of the sales.
Okay, sir. Thank you. And another thing that you mentioned a lot about debottlenecking. And you also mentioned a capex of 60 to 70 crore or somewhere about that for this year. So does that include the cost for the debottlenecking or is it a completely different expansion?
That's included.
Okay, that's included.
Yes.
Okay, and I'm asking a bit of a broad question because, like, how have things changed for the company since the management has changed?
So, you know, we believe that the company has a very bright future in terms of growth prospects. I think that is one kind of management philosophy which has got reinstilled in the company and its management team. And in line with that philosophy, a lot of changes have happened in terms of product efficiency, in terms of projects that we are doing, in terms of, you know, customer relationships. So the entire, you know, kind of organizational structure, organizational, you know, part of the organization of the company has changed and is more geared towards ensuring that, you know, we grow.
Okay, that's fair enough. Thank you for answering all my questions.
Sure.
Thank you. Next question is from line of Pritesh Chheda from Lucky Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
I have two questions and I don't comprehend your answer to these two. So one on the freight price Pritesh, and the price increase. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead, Pritesh.
So yeah, so on the freight side and the price increase, so what I happened to check with the traders was that at the end of June is where the prices of ABS have gone up on account of freight. And you were in short to mention the RM related price increase or the bulk freight price increases and the ABS price increase which has flowed in. But you didn't comment on the freight related finished good price increases which have flowed in the month of June or the latter of month of June. Should we see that flowing in now in these quarters which are going to come by? That's first question. And my second question on the power and fuel costs, you know, whatever projects you're implementing, can you quantify the absolute EBITDA range benefit on account of this power and fuel cost, and should it be, should one assume over and above this 19 rupees a kg EBITDA which flowed in the quarter one of this year?
So the overall ocean freight changes which have happened, you know, in the Far East, which has an impact on finished goods and the market in India is not reflected in the June quarter. There could be some impact of it in the current quarter. Of course, it would be speculative of me to comment on that, but this is data you can independently verify as well. With regards to your second question, which is on utility costs, which is power and fuel, I think there are a lot of projects, like I mentioned, on fuel, where we are commissioning, you know, alternate fuel source utility operations, which are going to happen in this month and then consequently in after 2-3 months as well. So all of this is going to lead to a EBITDA improvement. Again, we haven't given a guidance on exactly what that percentage will be, and it will be premature for me to do that right now because we have to understand exactly what that that will entail at full capacity utilization. But you will see the benefit of that incrementally, I think, from next quarter and in the full year for next year for sure.
Are these benefits material? So are they a couple of percent type margin improvement? Can you give that kind of indication?
So, you know, just to give you an idea, you know, when we produce fuel, you know, using natural gas, our cost is around 6-6.5 rupees a kg. When we use certain alternate fuels, the cost per kg can come down to as low as 2.5-3 rupees. So if you calculate and, you know, correlate that to overall fuel cost, you can see that it is fairly material.
Oh, perfect. So basically, freight-related benefits have not flowed in quarter one, is what you're concluding. They can come incrementally in quarter two onwards, and then you have the power and fuel cost savings to be built in over the quarter one number. That's a takeaway.
Right.
Oh, thank you very much, sir.
Sure.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will take that as the last question. I'll now hand the conference over to Mr. Chintan Doshi for closing comments.
Thank you, investors communities, for joining the call and showing interest in the company. And we look forward to answer you in the next investor call, which will be announced at suitable time in future. Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Styrenix Performance Materials Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.